taken up today as committee substitute for House Bill 294 amended. And the first one to testify will be the sponsor, Representative Cotton. Okay, Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any prepared testimony, but I'll briefly run down why I introduced the legislation and what I think it does. The it was brought to my attention that several people were new owners of mobile homes and basically without an avenue of relief when they felt that there was substantial structural defects and other problems with it, with their homes. Several years ago, I think 1974, up until 1974, the state of Alaska had standards that manufacturers had to meet and before they could sell trailers in the state. Subsequently, the federal government established their own standards, which were not as high as the state had previously required. Up until that time, the manufacturers were required to post a bond, and again, the plans for their mobile homes had to meet the standards set by the state. What I propose in this bill is that once again, the state take an active role in requiring certain standards of the manufacturers before their homes can be sold in Alaska. And to circumvent the problem with the federal government, what I've outlined in this bill is a warranty requirement and a reinstatement of the bonding requirements of the manufacturers. Basically, it's a consumer protection bill. I'm certainly not trying to hurt anybody's business or run anybody out of the state. I'm interested in seeing quality products assured to mobile home dwellers, and there are a whole lot of them in our district, Senator Bradley. And this is the avenue I've chosen. The original bill had the function of enforcement located in the Department of Commerce, and we've since changed that to the Department of Transportation, and that was agreed upon by both Commissioner Weber and the Director of the Department of Transportation Public Facilities. There's been a difference in the fiscal notes that have been proposed by the two departments. The Commerce had a $94,000 fiscal note, I think, and DOT came up with about $250,000. The House Finance Committee approved, I believe, $40,000 or $39,000 for the entire function. That one new employee with a travel budget.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stargalewski?
Yes, Representative Cotton, how much hearing has this bill been subjected to, and basically, how do the warranty, the standards contained here compare with the federal government standards? Well, you say that this is now a basic minimum standards are set by the feds, and here we're warranting with having a 1 year warranty. What have we added to what is available through the federal government under existing law?
Well, there may be some other people here that would be better able to answer that question than me, but it's my understanding that the federal government establishes a certain standard for a mobile home before it can be sold in a certain region of the country. And that would mean a certain R factor of insulation, mm-hmm. a certain, I'm not sure what else. But this really doesn't address the standards. This addresses the warranty, the requirement that the home actually maintain itself for a period of 1 year, that won't be a substantial defect show up within a period of a year. For instance, the appliances won't break down, or the roof won't suddenly cave in, and you probably have in your file there a list of a lot of the complaints that people have had with their new mobile homes.
Representative Cotton, do you see this bill as prohibiting any mobile home sales operation from bringing their mobile homes into the state?
I should hope not. What the bill does is requires those manufacturers to give assurance to the consumers through the warranty that their product will hold up for at least 1 year without substantial defect. And so I think that most mobile home manufacturers should be able to say that yes, in fact, their product will hold up for a year, and that they're willing to back it up with a warranty.
Do you see this correspondence. Any other questions by the membership? Terry?
Excuse me, sir.
No questions? In that case, Sam, I don't have any questions right now, and I know you've got to get back, so Mike here, you can probably handle it.
Okay, I'll be back in a moment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sure. Thank you very much, Representative Cotton and Claudia. Dave, we'll take the first person to testify from Anchorage, whoever.
Senator Bradley, this is Judy in Anchorage. Connie Stites is going to lead off today. We're having a very difficult time hearing the Juno end. I assume that you're reading me all right. We could barely make out Representative Cotton's remarks and can barely hear you. If you're hearing us all right, we'll have Connie Stites go ahead.
Thank you, Judy. I'll sound off. We hear you loud and clear. Go ahead, Connie.
Thanks, Senator. Representative Cotton has asked me to testify. My testimony should be on record in the House Judiciary Committee, and at that time I did submit a written report entitled Mobile Home Warranty Problems in Alaska, prepared from the files of the State Consumer Protection Office, just compilations of the complaints in the last 24 months about warranty-type problems with new mobile homes, and by new mobile homes, we were looking at ones that were about a year or less in age from the date of purchase. This mobile home warranty problem report, which Mike Ford can get copies for you, basically breaks down showing that of 68 consumers who actually took the time to walk into our office, who filed written consumer complaints, that there were 12 major problem areas. And just running very, very briefly through the types of problems that come up so you can see what we're talking about before I go into the problems that the state has in dealing with these problems, I should tell you that those problems seem to break down into defects in interior construction, such as flooring, cabinet, paneling problems, defects in exterior construction, such as improperly installed windows, warping exterior doors. At least 36 consumers complained of little or no assistance from the dealer or the manufacturer with problems with their new home, problems with delay on getting new parts, some consumers being told that a problem was normal with the mobile home. The fourth category was leaks of different kinds, water leakage. The fifth problem was interior damage due to this water leakage, mold, or condensation. Some people complained about defects in furniture or appliances, others about defects in plumbing, others about doors and windows freezing over, which was a problem observed fairly often and included rear doors that were meant to be used as fire exits in the home. So some defects in electrical systems, drafts from seams in the mobile home, heating system problems, and inadequate insulation. The report contains just a few case examples without names. And this, of course, is, as I said, it's only 68 complaints in 2 years. There are a lot more mobile homes than that sold in Alaska. And our office is aware that mobile homes are a good form of residential housing, that they are a boon to the state of Alaska, but we also are aware that we do get complaints about problems. Our office has some difficulty in dealing with the problems because we do not have the type of expertise that would allow anyone from our office to go out to make an inspection. These are what consumers complained about. We did not have a person on staff, in fact, only having one investigator to handle complaints about every type of business in the state. We couldn't possibly send someone out to verify whether or not these complaints were valid. These are the complaints. These are not things that we verified to be true. We also find that we do not have a great deal of legal recourse if a dealer does not cooperate. In most instances, when consumers complain, the dealer and or the manufacturer did take care of the problem. And I want to emphasize that. It's not that the industry is negligent. It's not that the industry is not responding. But there have been times when particular dealers were not capable of dealing with a warranty problem. Say a certain model came out of the factory and there were problems occurring in 4 or 5, 10 of the mobile homes of the same model, or the dealers have at times told us that they have problems. This has been told to our investigators several times, that they have sometimes had to absorb financial burdens for doing warranty work necessary to keep their customers happy, necessary, to, for instance, to resolve disputes that came to the State Consumer Protection Office, but that they felt at that time the manufacturer should have absorbed. This has been told to us several times. It would be difficult to try to enforce warranty problems on a one-by-one basis when there are problems. Our staff, though, have filed one lawsuit in Juneau against a mobile home dealer and manufacturer regarding new mobile homes that had significant warranty problems and significant problems in getting those repaired, delay, consumers experiencing frustration. And you're talking here about, in that instance, people who had $50,000 and up homes. And it's important to remember that you are talking about a big investment in terms of consumer dollars. Part of what we see in our office is a public expectation, whether or not it's valid. The public has an expectation that concerning such a big investment in their life, there should be interest on the part of the state if they get into a problem over the new mobile home. Consumers feel that way in many areas concerning quite a few of their dealings with the business community, not just mobile homes. But they do take their mobile home problems seriously because they're talking about $30,000 to $55,000. It would be good if we could respond to them in a way more satisfactory than we presently have. My understanding, I've met with the dealers recently, but also over the past few years, that it's my understanding that the dealers, in Anchorage at least, felt fairly happy in the past when there was a person in the Division of Weights and Measures who had expertise in the area of mobile homes, who knew the dealers, who knew the industry, and who could actually make on-site inspections when consumers made complaints, and could determine whether the consumer was abusing the mobile home, whether the consumer was complaining about a problem that was not industry created, or whether in fact there was a problem that the dealer or manufacturer should cure. And then this state personnel person with this expertise could make a recommendation either to the consumer to change use and habits, or to the dealer to get the problem cured. We have, in the past, not pursued on an individual basis consumer complaints. However, we have often referred consumers to take their own, if we have not been able to get cooperation from the dealer. In those instances, we have referred consumers to private legal channels, such as a private lawsuit. However, I'm not aware of how those have been followed through or whether they've been followed through on. This bill is something that I originally worked on with Joe Swanson from Weights and Measures, responding to some discussions that had been had in Anchorage about the desirability of getting back to the position where the state would have a local person, someone in Alaska trained in the industry who could help resolve disputes between purchasers and mobile home dealers. That's the basic thrust behind the bill in the first place. However, it was not introduced by Commerce, it was introduced by Representative Cotton. And, you know, feeding on his constituents' concerns, I think that it would be very valuable for consumers if this bill could pass, because it's my understanding that the bill itself is not requiring a warranty that is in itself broader, very much broader, than what most manufacturers and dealers already warrant. Is merely saying that the state has an interest in ensuring that those warranties are lived up to. You'll notice that the bill does not contain any large penalty sections. It doesn't have any criminal misdemeanors or fines. It does have a bonding program, similar to the bonding program for manufacturers that was in effect under the federal statute. I should, at this point, answer one of the questions from one of the committee members about the difference between this bill and the federal bill. The federal bill, as Representative Cotton pointed out, speaks to what in stick-built housing is called building codes. What size insulation has to be put in the walls, what size studs have to be put in the walls. It's the standards by which the home is to be designed and built. The warranty bill, because the federal law has completely taken over the area of building code standards, this warranty bill instead just talks about maintaining the home for its first year in a condition that is free from any substantial, and that's important, any substantial defects in materials and workmanship. This is the one type of bill which the federal statute specifically says is allowable under this new federal scheme. It says that a state warranty program is not preempted by the federal statute. It's my understanding that a bill very similar to this is law in California, and I just recently received a copy of a very similar statute, which is law in Wisconsin. We've looked at other ways to approach the problem, and I could not find any way outside of the federal law to put back in the Alaska Code on buildings that might take care of some of these problems. However, by having a warranty program, we would have a local person with some expertise and time and a commitment to doing this job full-time, to working with both local industry, with the manufacturers, and with local consumers on resolving warranty problems on new mobile homes. I've met with the dealers. I know that they have some problems with the bill. We've talked about some possible alternatives to some sections. However, I feel I should probably, leave any of that discussion for questioning the committee or response to some of the other people who will be testifying today. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much, Connie. Stand by for questions, if you will. Any questions from the membership? No questions at this time, Connie. Thank you very much. Next person to testify, please.
Mr. Chairman, our next witness is Tom Carey. We are still experiencing the same difficulties in hearing you. Mr. Carey is prepared to go ahead.
My name is Tom Carey. I've been in the mobile home business now 28 years in the Anchorage area and many of the cities in Alaska. I'm testifying for this bill. And the main reason I'm testifying for it is because a few years ago we did have an Alaska code that the dealers got together with people down in Juneau, passed ourselves a bill that we could live by, and we had a representative here in Anchorage and throughout the state that policed this bill for us and did a good job for us. And Amos Johnson with the Department of Weights and Measures. So I'm for this bill. Perhaps if you wait another year, you might get a better bill, but they've got this, and I can live with it.
Thank you very much, Tom. A question from Senator Stargluski. Owen.
Mr. Carey, not a question, just a comment. I told you this personally, but you run one of the cleanest and finest and best managed parks that I've seen in Anchorage, and as a candidate, I walk through a lot, so I'm interested in your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the membership? I concur, Tom.
Chairman, are you ready for our next witness?
I'm ready for the next witness, Judy. Thank you.
I don't have you on yet. Mr. Chairman, our next witness will be Bob Penny. Are you ready?
Ready. Go ahead, Bob. Over.
We can hardly hear you, Brad. You sound like you're in Juneau or someplace. Good morning, afternoon to you. Good afternoon, Arliss. I understand. I don't know who on the committee was there. I guess Tim's probably there, too. But
all right, Bob, let me interrupt. Tim's in the dental chair. He'll be here later if he's able.
Good. I'd like to address myself to the...
And Senator Stimson is here. Over.
I like the idea. Tom Carey sitting next to me, and Gail Kincaid across the room, and myself, and about three other dealers were the ones that instituted and put in the mobile home code for the state of Alaska some 8 or 9 years ago because we thought it was necessary. We agreed at the time, and what came out finally was a good bill. We could all live with it. But I'm going to tell you that I feel that this bill as it's written is not a good bill because I don't think enough time and thought's gone into it for this reason. There's no question in my mind, I concur with Tom, that it should be moved from the consumer department of the AG's office over into commerce. It worked very well. We had a very good working relationship. But this bill unquestionably will restrict competition and that it will restrict the amount of manufacturers that are even going to bother to do business in the state. The consumer is going to pay more because the manufacturers is going to peg in more prices and more expenses for having to do business up here. Over 90% of the Alaskan products sold within, over 90% of the mobile homes sold within Alaska are produced in the Pacific Northwest. The Alaskan product basically is produced to a HUD code zone 3 and a climate control 2, which is the highest in the nation. It's the highest restrictive code that HUD has, and they should be. We're all for that. But to most of these manufacturers, particularly with the slowdown of the pipeline, Alaskan business is a other business or extra business. It's the type of business that they really don't have to have. And I can assure you, in my opinion, half the manufacturing producing in this state now will look very closely if they'll continue to produce because of the restrictiveness of this bill. The last 3 years of complaints with the Department of Commerce have been, or with the AG's office have been unusual. You've seen the highest volume of sales that the state's ever seen. You've seen 2 to 3, in some cases 4 times the volume of sales. You've seen a lot of dealers coming to town that even some of them aren't here anymore. And you've seen other dealers that had their capacity totally peaked out and weren't able to handle things. But I think in normal years, as Amos Johnson can tell you, or you can ask Phil Hubbard over in Commerce, the way the dealers worked with the Department of Commerce from 5 or 6 years was very satisfactory, and I don't think there was very, very many serious questions at all. My recommendation to you, Arliss, would be very seriously to set this bill aside. I don't see anything in the record anywhere where anybody's even contacted any manufacturers, asked them their opinion, asked them how they think it will affect their views in Alaska, and I think that should be done. I think if the AG's office doesn't do it, then the dealer should take it on themselves to contact their manufacturers and get a direct answer from them one way or the other if they'll live with it. And for that reason, I concur with Tom Carey, and if the matter doesn't belong with the AG's office, it probably belongs back in Commerce. But overall, I don't think this is a good bill. In fact, I'm going to say it's a bad bill. I think bad bills make bad laws.
Thank you very much, Bob. Any questions from the membership?
A question, Bob.
Senator Stargalewski has a question, Bob.
Bob, I wonder if you could indicate why you feel this would create a difficulty for the manufacturer. You indicated that, you know, the codes are higher, but surely they're building and should be willing to warrant for 1 year if they're not doing it. You know, where do those costs come in, come into play?
Are they receiving us?
Judy, this is Claudia. Yes, there were. Just a moment, please.
Thank you.
If you don't sit quite so close to the mic, I can help too.
Better?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I was too far from it.
Just about 6 to 8 inches is usually just about right.
Judy, we have a question for our Bob Penny by Senator Stargalewski.
We're waiting here.
Bob. The question was, you indicated that most of the mobile homes are produced on the West Coast to somewhat higher standards.
Claudia, this is Judy. Are you standing by or have we lost you again?
Okay, you must have lost us temporarily. We'll start again.
Okay.
Bob, the question was, you indicated most of the mobile homes are produced on the West Coast. I'm wondering why you feel that the passage of this law would increase their costs and say increase the difficulty of getting mobile homes up here. It seems to me that surely they must be producing those mobile homes to meet a 1 year standard.
There's no question that's part of the HUD requirements, Arliss. Remember this, back in 70 and 71 when there was a state code for Alaska, there was also a different state code for Idaho, a different one for Oregon, a different one for California. Now that's all been put in abeyance. A manufacturer cannot produce a coach anything other than HUD requirements. We as dealers can't even move appliances technically. The amount of things that a manufacturer has as latitude in the way he produces a coach is null. He cannot do that. He has to follow the HUD code. Anytime you put extra restrictions or put more requirements on top of any industry, I don't care if it's General Motors or who it is, you're going to tend to have that industry not look into that marketplace as closely. If we lay this on a couple manufacturers we had, and they don't have to do the same thing in Oregon, they don't have to do the same thing in Washington. In my opinion, and I think that this is what needs to be researched, in my opinion, they, if it came to a push or a shove, question of whether they want more volume up here, they would say they don't care to do business here anymore. It's more expensive for any manufacturer to do business here in the first place. Remote areas, if he wants to get parts, supplies, and warranty items into the area, he has to fly them in. The Alaskan business is an extra business to these people, as I stated before, and I really think that the extra requirements we're asking them on through this legislation would tend, in a lot of cases, to have them not care to do business anymore. I'm sure, in my opinion, it would affect PAC, and I think that should be found out.
Thank you.
Any more questions from the membership? No more questions, Bob. Thank you very much for your enlightening testimony. We'll take the next witness, please. Over.
Mr. Chairman, our next witness is Larry Crockett.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry Crockett. I represent both the spokesman for the Alaska Manufactured Housing Association as well as Melody Home. I think many of the questions or the questions concerning this bill have both been asked and also been responded to. However, we'd like to emphasize that we don't feel in the short period of time, and we would like to thank the AG's office, Mrs. Sipes and both Mrs. Thomas, for their input and their cooperation in trying to help us in an organization in a short time to perhaps amend or whatever, many of the things that we were opposed to or objected to. However, there has not been, we are only one segment of it, and that being the dealers. We too have the consumers who are without the consumer. There is no reason for us being there, or we wouldn't be there. The manufacturer who furnishes our product, we're in the middle. We too are concerned about all these parties, and we haven't had an opportunity, and we feel that we should have an opportunity to get some input from the consumer. 68 of them certainly couldn't, be the everything and be a reason for just enacting this bill without more thought and consideration. The manufacturer certainly should be contacted. As Bob mentioned earlier, these manufacturers, in their entire line and the entire procedure, the houses are built for Alaska completely different than any place else in the lower 48. They have to change their entire assembly line. There's all different materials and what have you to go into it, so they have to take added precautions to make certain that these homes are built to pass the standards which are required for this state. But in short and in summary, we would move to set this bill aside until such time as we had an opportunity to get the input and what have you and clarify such things as what is a defect. There is no set of standards by which they will say that a defect is X thing. It's too vague and unclear, and it is presently covered under the HUD code, which we that now exists, and we have no objections to living to a set of standards, provided we know what those standards are. And the other thing, as Ms. Sipes and the other parties have indicated, at the time there was an Amos Johnson here, who was an unbiased party to both to the dealer, the state, and or to the people, but there wasn't but one Amos Johnson, unfortunately, and so therefore we've got to train someone. Right now, and I think Mr. Kincaid has indicated in a letter to one of the members there, at this time there is not a qualified person working for the state of Alaska who could set them determine what and what is not a defect and does not know our industry. So therefore, I think we should have an opportunity to put some input into it with a little more thought and consideration. Thank you.
Any questions by the membership for Mr. Crockett? Thank you very much, Mr. Crockett. No questions, and we'll take Judy, the next person to testify. Over.
Mr. Chairman, our next witness is Gary Jensen.
Mr. Chairman, this is Gary Jensen with P&J Mobile Home. First of all, I'd like to mention that Connie Sipes with the Attorney General's Office has done a good job. She's been fair, and we appreciate working with her. We also want to mention that we're not opposed to a bill, but we think it should be held over, at least this particular bill, until we can put a bill together that is going to be totally right, not half wrong. I don't want to repeat what the other gentlemen have said. The last two gentlemen I'm in total agreement with, Mr. Crockett and Mr. Penning. We are going to reduce competition in the sense that manufacturers are going to not want to ship to Alaska. Right now, first of all, during the pipeline, some of them were hesitant to even get involved with Alaska during the pipeline. Those that got involved were looking for rewards because they were going to be able to manufacture 30, 40, 50 homes per month for a dealer, and that meant big business to them. It was a very definite increase in their business. Now, where a dealer was selling 30 mobile homes per month, now he's probably selling 4 or 5. With the business on the West Coast being quite lucrative and good, they don't need Alaska business. One of the reasons why is their production lines have to be stopped, and maybe they'll fill in 1 or 2 units. And this is a hassle for them in the first place. Some of our manufacturers are only continuing to do business with us only because we have done business with them in the past. They are looking forward to some kind of a scapegoat not to do business with us anymore. A perfect example is I asked a manufacturing company to give me an expando for one of my mobile homes just last week and told him that if he couldn't give it to me, I wasn't going to be able to use his product. And he was very glad that I would ask him for that because it gave him an opportunity not to be able to do business with me anymore. What I'm saying is, and I believe everybody, even though they're in agreement with this bill, any dealer that was in agreement, like even Mr. Carey, even though he's in agreement that with the bill, he will also agree that the manufacturers will probably cut in half. You might want to ask him that. So therefore, we reduce competition. Right now, our mobile home dealers are trying to maintain business just to stay alive. One of the problems we have had is financing problems, where an individual buys a $30,000 mobile home, he has to have at least minimum $6,000 down, and sometimes more depending on his credibility. But if his credit is excellent and he's been in Alaska for, say, 2 years, he can probably get in that home for $6,000 down. That same individual, if he wanted to buy a home, he could buy a $100,000 house with $5,000 down plus closing costs. So right now the dealers are having a hard time just staying in business, keeping their manufacturers together, and keeping their financing together. A bill put together properly will help us all in the long run, but I think it's going to take some good total concentration, not only from the part of the Attorney General's office, but from the part of the manufacturer and from the part of the dealer, in order to coordinate a bill that's going to be good for everybody. And I believe in total, that's why bills are put together in the first place. One of the other things about the bill, which I myself feel is unfair and won't work, is the warranty of furniture. Now, every time I've ever bought any furniture downtown, nobody ever gave me a year warranty with it. And I have most of the time bought fairly decent furniture. In mobile homes, the type of furniture we normally put in it is of a medium grade and sometimes less than a medium grade. The reason for this is because you can't put a $5,000 furniture package in a mobile home and expect a bank to finance that mobile home for 15 years when they in fact believe that the furniture is only going to last for 5 years. So therefore the furniture package is just a very small part or portion of the value of that particular mobile home, and we have to keep the price down. I know that, Bob. I realize that. Excuse me. We have to keep that price down, otherwise it won't be financeable. The furniture won't be financeable in that mobile home. If the furniture has to be warranted, we'd have to put a product in there that would be unfinanceable. If it's unfinanceable, the consumer isn't going to be able to have it in the first place. So as an end result, it's not going to be good for the consumer. It's not going to be good for the dealer because it doesn't help enhance the seller's mobile home. A lot of people that buy mobile homes, it's an interim type housing for them, and they need it with furniture and their stove and refrigerator and everything to go along with it so that they can live in it for about 5 years, 4 years, and in that particular period of time gain enough equity where they can go out and probably live or do whatever they want to. It's a stepping stone to whatever they want in the future. I believe that is all I have to say at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jensen. Any questions for Mr. Jensen? Mr. Jensen, Gary, I have a letter here, and I won't mention who it's from, but we have also a warranty attached, and it reads as follows, just an excerpt therefrom. This bill appears to be redundant as much as most of the warranty requirements are presently required by federal regulations. However, as a reputable dealer with a background of more than 20 years in the mobile home business, I welcome any legislation that will ensure that the mobile home purchaser is protected by and from fly-by-night operators. It has a full one-year warranty attached, and it covers a multitude of things. Doesn't mention anything about standards. Do you get a warranty such as this with all of the mobile homes that you sell or at Melody Sales? Over.
I'm going to turn this over to I'm going to turn this over to Melody Mobile Homes. I'm with P&J Mobile Homes, Mr. Chairman. Just a moment.
Very well.
Mr. Bradley, this is Larry Crockett again, and I believe you addressed that to Melody Homes or Melody Sales. Yes, sir. Each mobile home shipped into the state of Alaska does contain and have with it a warranty. I am not looking at the particular document you have before you, however, I'm sure that it is in compliance with NFA standard form.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crockett. It didn't matter whether it was Melody Sales or P&J. I just wanted to know what the thinking was. Thank you very much. Any other questions from the membership? No further questions, but we're ready for the next person to testify. Over.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Kincaid is our next witness.
Mr. Chairman, Gail Kincaid. As reference to my letter I wrote you, we're opposed to the bill, the same as the other gentleman, that the items in question are covered by HUD, the construction is covered by HUD, the warranty is covered by the manufacturer, and we haven't really had the time to notify our manufacturers, get their input, the consumer's input, or the other dealer's input. And we're asking this bill to be set aside to give us the opportunity to contact all these people and better present a better bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Any questions from Mr. Kincaid? No questions from Mr. Kincaid? Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Gail. We'll take the next witness. Over.
Mr. Chairman, we have no additional witnesses, but Connie Seif would like to make a follow-up comment if that's agreeable to you.
Renetta Thomas and Andy Vero, they are not testifying. Over.
No, sir. They are observing today.
I see. Go ahead, Connie. Over.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, you're fading again.
I say, go ahead, Judy, for the next witness, which is Connie Sipes, I think.
All right, I'll go ahead. I would like to clarify a couple things about these federal and state laws. Okay, there are two federal laws, and Mr. Kincaid has referred to them. One is this HUD building code standard. Okay, now that, as I said before, talks about how the home is built. However, a home can be designed, the design can be sent to HUD, HUD can approve the design, HUD inspectors who make random factory visits can come in and find that the home is being properly made when they come into the factory. That still doesn't mean that in the first year after home reaches Alaska, substantial defects can appear that the consumer needs help getting fixed. In other words, HUD only talks about how the home is to be designed and how it's to be built, and there is no HUD enforcement personnel in Alaska, none whatsoever, who have anything to do with mobile homes. So this is one of those situations where we can rely on someone outside to solve a problem for us. My understanding, and Joe Swanson testifies to this, that under the HUD program, there are different kinds of hazards or different kinds of problems with mobile homes. And if we found a mobile home in Alaska that had a imminently hazardous life or health kind of problem, that we would send a report of that to the San Francisco Regional Office of HUD, which would have 60 days, to determine whether, in fact, it really was something imminently hazardous to life. We would hope, of course, the consumer was still alive by that time. After that, if HUD found that the hazard was that serious, a report would be sent to the state where the mobile home was manufactured, and that state, not Alaska, that state would be asked to take action against the manufacturer. Now, all I'm saying is that it doesn't, that bill's fine for what it does. Alaska has problems that maybe the code isn't high enough, but it exists, but it doesn't give us any kind of local dispute mechanism. It doesn't give us anybody locally to see whether it's being enforced. The other bill that Mr. Kincaid referred to is the Federal Warranty Act. Now, that's also known as the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act. That Warranty Act does not require a manufacturer, whether it's of mobile homes or hair dryers, to give any certain type of warranty. It only talks about how warranties are going to be disclosed and says that if you call your warranty a full warranty, it has to have certain characteristics. If you call it a limited warranty, it has to have other characteristics, but it does not require that any warranty at all be given. It is a bill that talks about how the warranty has to be disclosed to the consumer. So I just want to make it clear to the committee that this warranty bill does not conflict with and is not meant to overlap with either of those federal bills. Now, it also, as the chairman pointed out, and I think that all the dealers here have stated, most of their manufacturers do in fact offer one-year warranties against substantial defects in workmanship and materials right now. And I agree with Mr. Crockett that definition of those, of what substantial is, needs to be defined. But we've had some discussions, and I've tried to point out that it would be very hard to do that in detail in a statute. It would almost certainly have to be done after the statute was passed in some sort of regulation or guidelines, which would have detailed industry input through public hearings, through meetings. And it's my feeling that from the consumer viewpoint, it might be better to pass the bill now and start then to get underway talking, meeting, refining, defining those problems, but the bill needs to be there so that we could get started. I also wanted to just point out very briefly that there have been, and I think Senator Bradley has a copy, there have been some suggested alternatives to certain part of the bill that would maybe take care of some of the problems that the dealers are worried about, and that the committee, if it feels that it has some problems with the bill but would like to pass it, might want to consider some of those alternatives rather than a total abeyance of the bill until next year. Because as far as training an expert to know how to deal with problems, as far as defining substantial defects, another year only means another year that we haven't started on the project. Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Connie. We have your comments or recommended changes, and we just got them this morning and read over them. And on just short acquaintance, they read good, and I think they're definitely improvements. Don't think we'll pass it out today, because I want to absorb these a little more, and after we all have assimilated them and applied them to the bill, I think we can better make a determination as to whether we should pass out the bill during the next meeting, pass it out at all, or hold it over for the summer, as has been suggested. So we'll be letting you know in the very near future what we'll do. We have at least one more witness to testify here, Mr. Terry Barnett. If the people testifying there can stand by, they may be interested in what he has to say. Mr. Barnett.
Thank you, Senator. I'm appearing on behalf of the elected. Thank you, Senator. I'm appearing on behalf of the Alaska Manufactured Housing Dealers Association.
Mr. Chairman, yes, Mr. Barnett, would you repeat that again, Alaska?
Yes, ma'am. The Alaska Manufactured Housing Dealers Association. Some of the points that I'm going to touch on very briefly have been mentioned earlier, but I think it would be helpful to at least mention them together in the context of an overall approach to this legislation. The bill is unacceptable to the association in its present form, and its inadequacy cannot be cured by a process of piecemeal amendment. For reasons that will be specified shortly, the association requests that the bill not be passed out of committee, but be referred to interim committee for further work and reintroduction next session.
Pardon me, Mr. Barnett. Are they receiving this all right?
Judy, this is Claudia.
Claudia, you're back on in good shape right now. You seem to have a fade in, fade out, but we're hearing you very well right now.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The entire bill is flawed by inadequate consideration for potential consequences of the bill's provisions. As mentioned by earlier speakers, manufacturers and dealers of manufactured housing have not been consulted for their views on provisions of the bill in its present form or for suggestions for achieving the bill's consumer protection aims more efficiently, that is, achieving desired protections while assuring continued operation of the manufactured housing industry in Alaska. Further, consumer groups, as mentioned earlier, have not been consulted in drafting the bill. Rather, the bill is the creation of the Consumer Protection Division of the Department of Law. The experience of the division is in fielding consumer complaints. The bill reflects the division's complaint experience orientation rather than a comprehensive view of a multi-state enterprise whose importance for the Alaska business and consumer communities is substantial. The result of this complaint orientation is a bill that contains provisions that are insensitive to the needs of both consumers and business people. A major area of concern for both business people and consumers is assuring continued supply of manufactured housing to the Alaskan market. The major provision of the bill that raises concern in this regard is the bonding provision. The importance of continued supply is perhaps apparent enough. The cost of housing in Alaska, of stick-built housing, is getting so high that the legislature this year asked the Legislative Affairs Division to do research and make proposals for ASHA, the Alaska State Housing Authority, granting residential loans on mobile homes and on other manufactured housing. We've got a crisis situation, especially within this high interest period, and we need to assure continued supply. The bonding requirement is going to have a very burdensome effect on smaller dealers of mobile homes. While there are perhaps three or so very large dealers in the state who can live with a bonding requirement, there are perhaps 25 or so smaller dealers who cannot. The reason for this has been alluded to earlier, that Alaskan operation represents marginal business for many large out-of-state manufacturers. If they have to incur the added risk of buying bonds and the risk of forfeiture of bonds provided for by the bill, it may simply not be worthwhile for them to continue to compete in the market. Also, a great uncertainty which in itself creates a burden for operating the markets created by the bonding requirement, because it's impossible for manufacturers to determine at this point what their bonding, well, for the sellers of bonds to determine what bonding rate, because the nature of the risk on the bond is different. As mentioned earlier, while there is a bond provision in current state law, it's basically been preempted by federal law, which does not have a bonding provision. If a bonding provision comes in now under the guise of warranty, with the possibility of forfeitures, the cost of bonds may in itself be enough to discourage marginal operators from participating, and may discourage enterprises who write bonds from participating in the market because they're not able to determine the risk, and there's going to be a period of uncertainty during which risk will have to be determined. For a small seller who may sell only a few mobile homes from a range of manufacturers, such a seller could conceivably be put out of business if he's not buying a large enough number of homes from any particular manufacturer to make it worth that manufacturer's risk to stay in the market. As mentioned earlier, virtually all of the mobile homes that are sold in Alaska are made outside the state. If the supply, the out-of-state supply, diminishes because of bonding requirements, dissatisfaction with particular other provisions and bills, or simply uncertainty, unwillingness to incur added risks in doing business in the state's market, there is going to be potentially a very serious problem in maintaining the supply to meet consumer demand in the state. A second area of concern involves the impact directly on dealers in the state. Some of the earlier speakers have mentioned special impact on them as manufactured housing dealers that are not imposed on other business people selling products. For example, no other sellers of goods are required to post a bond in order to import their goods into the states and have their goods sold in the state. Generally, other dealers are not directly responsible for the warranty obligations extended by manufacturers of products, which this bill does provide for. Another concrete example mentioned was the furniture warranty problem, which also has a consumer impact that was not mentioned, and that is, it's important, especially for buyers of manufactured housing in remote areas, but also statewide, to be able to purchase a home and furniture package. And if dealers were compelled to, in effect, not sell furniture in a package with housing because of the financing problem mentioned earlier, that's going to have a negative impact on people, whether they be remote dwellers or otherwise, who want to be able to purchase homes and furniture together.
Would you excuse me, Mr. Chairman?
Would you go to that person
one more time?
Surely. The earlier speaker, who was talking about the problem of financing furniture, was saying that often furniture and mobile homes are sold as a package. If furniture has to be warranted for the same period of time as the home, for an extended period of time, assume, for example, the house is being financed over a 15-year period, the bank that's financing that housing, if furniture is included in that package, is going to be looking at financing furniture over a 15-year period too. Furniture is not going to last over a 15-year period. As the earlier speaker mentioned, this sale is essentially to a transitional market, and
I guess I don't see how that relates to a one-year warranty on the furniture. Oh, thank you.
I don't understand how that relates to a one-year warranty on furniture.
Well, I believe there's still a problem with the financing. In other words, the... The warranties are really a series of separate warranties. And the bill attempts to make it... The bill speaks of a warranty, but it's really a package of separate warranties. And the financing problem is somewhat different. I'll address both of those for you. The problem of having the dealers liable for warranties that they have not created that are essentially manufacturer's warranties, or warranties as to quality control that they are not able to affect other than by selection of the product, is an increased risk of doing business. We always have a balance in regulating any industry, and also if one is a dealer and conducting any industry, of offering a range of products that the public is interested in buying, and the public in effect is being told, this is what we have, do you want to buy it? The public says yes. But what we are saying is that that this bill will have the effect of limiting goods that are available to the public, of limiting the public range of choice, and thereby will cut some people out of the market.
Senator Stimson.
Let me see if I can get this a little clearer in my mind. If I understand what you're saying, when it comes to the package of furniture, appliances, or whatever it might be that would be included with the trailer, that isn't necessarily a part of the package that the distributor buys from the manufacturer. It may be purchased separately.
That's not quite what I meant to say. The bill has the effect of making the dealer responsible on the warranties of the manufacturers. And their various manufactured parts, for example, a General Electric stove in a mobile home might have a GE warranty. Some of the product will have another warranty. By making the dealer directly responsible on warranties extended by the manufacturer, the dealer's risk is increased. The dealer's going to take some steps to control that risk. He's going to either have to do it by raising a price or by not offering the product. And in that sense, the bill is limiting the choice of the range of goods that the dealer is able to make available to the public for a given price. The financing problem was a slightly different aspect of the same problem. The financing problem is that there's a furniture package that doesn't have a life as long as the home. The choices are to put in furniture, which will have that life, thereby raising the cost, or to allow to allow package sales to continue and allow the buyer to knowingly buy furniture of a limited duration and to accept a certain risk. What a negative aspect of this bill is that it limits consumer choice by, in effect, making the choice of risk for the consumer, saying, by telling the dealers that they have to make a certain warranty. And many dealers will not be able to accept that risk, or consumers not be able to accept the passed on cost of that risk. And that's what we're saying.
Thank you.
In summation, I would refer to some comments that Ms. Seip made. She referred to 68 complaints over a period of 2 years, a period that she described as one very active for the manufactured home industry in the state, and that industry representatives characterized in the same way. She indicated that there are unverified complaints. It seems to us that a small number of unverified complaints is not an adequate basis for justifying a bill that will regulate a multi-state industry whose operation in this state, continued operation in this state, is very important to consumers and business community alike. Ms. Seip acknowledged the importance of continued supply of manufactured homes to the state. The industry, as an earlier speaker said, is not opposing a bill. Rather, the industry is asking that consideration be given to the spectrum of impacts that legislation in this area will have. Passing a law, as Ms. Seif mentioned, as being a way of getting started, seems to us not to be the way to get started, especially where two other states, as she mentioned, California and Wisconsin, have similar laws. Alaska can have the benefit during the interim session of communicating with those states to see what their experiences have been, what problems we might avoid, and what additional benefits we might obtain by less interferences with the operation of the industry in the state. Ms. Seif indicated that the industry as a whole in Alaska has been helpful and responsive in connection with this bill, and that problems in the past have been with isolated dealers. We ask that the industry be allowed to continue to participate in a constructive way, and that its experience be tapped in devising a bill that will be provide a solid foundation at the outset for achieving both the protectionist goals and business encouraging goals of the statute, and that we not start with a bill that's going to have serious problems, and that a process of continuing amendment is more likely to complicate than resolve. That concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Any question from any member of the committee? Thanks a lot, Mr. Barnett. How can we get in contact with you? 311 Franklin Street?
Yes, sir.
Is that the Benfield Norman Faulkner law firm?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. This is Senator Bradley speaking.
To make some follow-up comments, if that's agreeable.
It's agreeable. Proceed.
Mr. Bradley, I only have a couple of comments, and I'd like to thank Terry for representing us there and having an opportunity to and what have you, such a short notice. However, the whole thing is going to...
Let me interrupt just a minute. Claudia, will you find out who's speaking for the tape?
To, you know, something being done for the industry. However, we... would like to again state that we would like to have an opportunity to put some input into it from the consumer, the manufacturer, and all other parties concerned that is, and Ms. Seif stated it, Mr. Cobb stated it earlier in some of his statements that that he didn't know, well, no one else does know either, and we did not have any input into it, and we'd like to have an opportunity to so decide that we will take the time as an industry to go to our consumers, who we have record of, go to our manufacturers, and put together and compile a impact statement of some type to present to you in October, and at that time, perhaps we can arrive at and write a good, workable bill. Thank you.
Judy, who was speaking just then?
Mr. Chairman, the speaker was Larry Crockett.
Good, just for the record. All right, it appears to me, it's quite obvious, there's a lot more that needs to be considered prior to passing out this bill. So I don't intend to pass it out today. Does anyone else have any comments to make before we sign off? Over.
Mr. Chairman, Connie Sipes would like to make a comment.
Go ahead, Connie.
Thank you, Senator. I don't mean to turn this into a debate, but I just wanted to make a few things clear for the committee members. First is, in my mind, the furniture discussion, which has taken up a fair amount of testimony, it's important to consumers, but it's one of those things that a bill can live without. However, some of the basic provisions should not be put in the same category with the furniture problem. Since most of these manufacturers, in fact, it's my belief that every manufacturer already promises a warranty for 1 year on substantial defects, There should not be any additional cost to the manufacturer in actually fulfilling that promise. In other words, if that promise has been made in the past, is being made now, that cost should already be figured into the cost of that mobile home. The bonding is another question, but a bond, as I'm sure most of the committee members are aware, is rarely a cash bond, but usually represents a 5%, 10% deposit on the bond amount. Also, just briefly, I did want to say that I did not want to overemphasize the complaints that our office has had. I wanted to say that we are not a judge and jury. We do not know that they are all justified. We do know that some of them are justified. In one instance where we had many complaints against one dealer, where we then went out and did some investigation to find out if more consumers had complaints about their new mobile homes, we did in fact take a weights and measures investigator. Amos Johnson was gone, so we took another fellow who did not have the same experience. We also sent one of our own investigators. And many of those complaints were verified as being quite valid. We have seen people have brought us photographs. There are sometimes dealers and sometimes manufacturers who do not respond. And our office has no very effective way of dealing with those problems. I just want to state that there are horror stories I could tell you, but I don't want to get into that. Maybe I'll only tell you my favorite one, which is when the two investigators went out, older elderly Japanese couple who showed them into the back bedroom where it was 30 degrees on a day when it was 28 degrees outside. And when asked why there was no heat in the bedroom, the couple said that they had mentioned this to the service repairman several times. They had been told that it was considered healthy in America to sleep in a cold bedroom and that it was on purpose. Finally, I wanted to just mention that the Wisconsin and California statutes are, in fact, much more involved in the statute. The California statute on warranties was the basis for the first draft of this statute. However, in both Wisconsin and California, there is a lot more involvement. Both dealers and manufacturers are actually licensed by the state, and there's quite a few more regulations, more to the statutes than just this warranty bill, so it is tied up with actually a much more complicated regulatory structure. Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Connie. Connie, could you send us copies of the statutes from other states that you might have? It may save us some time.
Very easily.
And if any other individuals that were testifying have any written testimony, any further comments to make, they would like to give us in writing, we would welcome those. I think we need a good bill that does the job, but I think we need one that entails a lot more work than what we have before us. Connie, we appreciate your testimony, most constructive, and your cooperation with the dealers, which they seem to appreciate. And we'll get out something here, but I don't know exactly when. Thank you very much.
Anchorage is clear.
Juneau's clear.
Yes.
We have Mrs. Watson here from the Department of Commerce.
Good.
And some brief comments.
Good. Have you cut them off?
Yeah.
Sure. I didn't have your name down here, Mr. Swanson. What's your first?
Jill Swanson. I'm the Chief of Weights and Measures for the Department of Commerce.
If they're still on, they might want to hear it. If they aren't, we'll just...
She signed off.
Okay. All right.
Do I need
go
to
ahead,
say
Jill.
My name again?
No, Jill Swanson, Department of Commerce. What is that?
Weights and Measures. Weights section of Weights and Measures. We've had the... Mr. Chairman, we've had the responsibility for mobile homes since 1974. Mm-hmm. Then the section of Weights and Measures. And the gentleman who was referred to a number of times, Amos Johnson, worked for me for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Amos has retired. The reason for this bill, probably, I brought it about more than anybody else, because when HUD came into the picture, when the federal government superseded our state, and before I get into that, let me just tell you the difference between a standard and a warranty. The standards that are now applicable to mobile homes are set down by HUD. Those standards that HUD have are sub-standards to what we had in Alaska prior to 1978 when they went into effect. We are working with Senator Gravel and Senator Stevens' office and the Department of HUD to get them raised back to where they were 3 years ago. We think we're going to get that done. What we're addressing ourselves to here is strictly asking the manufacturers and the dealers to live up to a mobile home that they sell somebody for $30,000 to $50,000 to $75,000, and you pay that for a double body. All we're asking them to do is say, look, warranty the product and guarantee it for a year. What we found in the problems I'll tell you about now have been verified by my inspectors. We will go out to a mobile home that will be glaciated completely over one wall. The reason for that is because there's no insulation in the wall. It'll be one section that somebody forgot to put in at the time of manufacture.
That new one, Joe.
Brand new. Now, what happens on these is that we don't find them during the summer. Now, last year we got the cold spell in Anchorage in January. I had 11 complaints in 1 week, new homes. What they basically boiled down to, two or three of them there was no insulation in the floor. A couple of them there was no insulation in the walls. Or during shipment, a person comes up on the barge, the insulation starts to rock and you get an awful lot of movement, especially the ones that come out late in the year and they come up and it's pretty rough across the Gulf. The insulation will actually fall down. Now the cost of that is extreme to the dealers to go in, break a wall open and repair it. We realize that. But we also realize that somebody who's sitting in a home that has 1.5 to 2 inches of ice on his interior wall or his back bedroom door, the one that's supposed to be a fire exit, he can't get out of because it's got, again, 1.5 or 2 inches of ice. He can't get any of his windows open. All we're asking the manufacturers to do, now, the furniture thing I don't care about. That was not in the bill that was originally written. I understand that was put in by the House. And I could care less about whether the furniture falls apart. All I'm trying to do, I'm looking at safe and health and safety on this thing. I get very excited about this because I've looked at a lot of these homes that people paid a lot of money for. You go to a dealer, the dealer says that's a manufacturer's responsibility. You write the manufacturer and he says that's a dealer's responsibility. Now we've got some good dealers in Alaska and a lot of them respond. We've got some that don't, and you're talking in some instances as much as $2,000 to $3,000 to repair them. But if you pay $40,000 for a home, you should at least be able to live in it where it's safe. And that's the idea of the bill. Now, I can't see where this bill is going to cost any manufacturer any more money. We're not asking them to change their standards, to build to higher standards, to put more insulation in, to do anything else. All we're saying to do is when you build it, put all the insulation in it. Put the insulation in the floor. Seat the windows. That's all we're saying to them, nothing else. We're saying make sure your electrical work and your plumbing is correct. We're not asking them to increase their standards or build anything different. As far as the warranty is concerned, the bond, we had a bond with all the manufacturers that shipped into Alaska prior to HUD. Those bonds were just canceled this last July. And they were all in effect until July because the homes that were bonded under the old state program had to be in effect 2 years after the homes were sold. So I know and the bonds don't cost us about 10% to a reputable manufacturer. We never pulled a bond in the state of Alaska. The idea, if we found a problem, we contacted the dealer or the manufacturer, said you got a problem, fix it, or we'll pull the bond.
Mr. Chairman, Joe, you're talking then in terms of the manufacturer using his resources to acquire that bond.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, we've had some major problems, and here I'm working on a local level where we talked about a lot of performance bonds, we're talking about 100% of cost,
right?
So put the bucks in the bank.
Senator, the bill itself says a manufacturer constructing mobile homes for sale will have the bond, not the dealer. I went out and found the states that had, and I talked to the states that have these warranty bills, and they all put the blame or the burden on the manufacturer. Now, I met with most of the mobile home dealers, or tried to, in December. I sent them letters, I had my secretary call them to discuss this piece of legislation, as well as what I was doing in Washington, D.C. to get the standards increased. I did not have a lot of people turn out for it. We've been working on this for a year. Both Connie and I have informed the dealers that we're working on it, and they've had a lot of time to put input. And I've sat back in the room and heard that we should let this thing go for another year while we all look at it and study it, because nobody's had any time for input. I've contacted every one of them and asked them for input. And I'm afraid if we let it wait another year, we'll all go home, I'll call them up when I get home, they'll say, Joe, I'll be right down tomorrow. And next year we'll be right back where we are. Is there any questions? I talked too fast and too much sometimes.
Good, Joe.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just a comment that, you know, well, none of us like regulation, and it's always because of those that don't live up to it that necessitate it. But, about Amos Johnson, and he happens to be a very good friend of mine, and I know that the job that he did, and, you know, that was a quality kind of person who worked with both the industry and the, you know, it worked out well. I think we need to look into the furniture section, but I'd like to see this bill back to us for action.
Senator, if I may, I'd like to make a couple of comments in response.
Very well, Mr. Barnett.
I'm thinking.
You want to just slide over that and pull up your chair, Terry? Okay,
The association members are in substantial agreement, Mr.
Barnett. Okay, go ahead.
The problem is that the bill does more than simply warrant. The bill is really an overkill situation here, whereas Connie indicated there have been hundreds, perhaps thousands of sales of these products over the last couple of years. It's a tiny number of unverified complaints, and we're talking about now a comprehensive change in regulatory scheme that's going to affect a multi-state operation. Anytime you have that, anytime you have a change in the way somebody does business, you increase their perception of what their risk is going to be. The only way they find out otherwise is if they decide to incur the risk and operate for a couple of years and see what happens. I think that you've got to overcome that initial concern about new uncertainties that accompany a new regulatory scheme. I think a way to go a long step toward allaying that concern is to be able to talk to the manufacturers and the dealers and let them know that they're not simply giving opinions to someone who's going to write a bill and pass it, but that they are participating in developing this legislation. I don't see the specter of enormous risk that Mr. Swanson mentions of people being frozen or otherwise put out of their homes over the next year. We're talking about a tiny number of complaints that have come up over 2 years of extensive business experience. Further, it's not really a matter of putting it off for a year and starting over. We have the benefit of the work that's been done in the bill so far. There is going to be an interim committee, and there is experience in two other states that have similar provisions in their bills, even though their overall bills may touch matters that are not approached by this bill. It seems quite feasible to have a bill ready to introduce at the opening of the next session and to move that bill on through, especially since the matter has gotten considerable during this session. So I don't think we're looking at a year delay, and I don't think we're looking at a period of dangerous exposure to otherwise unprotected people. Many of those warnings are in place. It seems to me that the most important thing that the bill does is change business risks, which have potential effects of limiting the market in the state. And that's what seems worrisome to me.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Joe?
What we're doing here on this bill is almost identical to what we had prior to federal intervention into the program, and that is to ask the manufacturers to bond and guarantee their product to certain standards. Now, we're using the HUD standards rather than the old Alaska standards. But there's no change there. As Tom Carey pointed out, what we had prior to HUD was a good system. We're trying to get back to it. Now, as far as the 68 complaints that Connie had, those complaints were in her office, not in the Office of Weights and Measures. We've got probably four times that many complaints in our office. And I had testified to that effect in the House committee. Now, I apologize, I've been in big places like Pelican and Sitka the last week and didn't know I'd be here to testify today, or I'd have had those figures with me. But I don't really see it. I'm the state delegate to the National Conference of Building Codes and Standards, and I've sat down with just about every major manufacturer in two or three different states and discussed this problem with them, discussed the problem of our standards. I've discussed it with HUD. This bill is recommended by HUD as an extension of their own program for the state's own protection, because the HUD program does not go into this type of thing. The manufacturers know it's coming. It's coming in more than one state. It's in California, Wisconsin, New Mexico, I believe Colorado, and a couple, three others. And I've discussed it with most states, and most of them are going to go to it, because they figure it is the only way that they can guarantee to the homeowner that he's going to get what he paid for. And that's really all the bill does.
Anything else? What do you think of this comment? Mobile home dealers contribute to approximately one-third of the problems encountered by new mobile home owners due to the general inexperience of their employees or the unwillingness to hire qualified personnel to install the mobile homes or service them. Mobile home dealers are unwilling to effect repairs of a major nature or even many minor ones because of the manufacturer's unwillingness to reimburse costs due to the repair of poor workmanship at the time of construction. More remedies for the consumer would be forthcoming if the manufacturer's bond could be attached if reimbursements were not prompt. Due to the excessive prices dealers are charging for the homes, many people are purchasing out of state and the dealer has no representative in the area. Just thought that for your edification, throw that in. That was different from any other comments we'd received from any of the dealers.
Right. None of this and the California bill, the Wisconsin bill, all lend themselves to what they call the tie-down situation. And they place that burden of responsibility on the dealer himself. And that tie-down situation normally is after the home is set on the site and is tied down, then a state inspector comes out and inspects it. And we inspect for a living in weights and measures, and I really didn't want anything more like that. If I were a mobile home dealer and doing a good job, I wouldn't want it. This is not an attempt to burden the dealers. It's just an attempt to make sure that we get what we're buying. We could have included the tie down on it very easily. Most states do. And then they charge the dealers so much for the tie down. But I didn't. The problem does exist, but we've got some good dealers, especially in the Anchorage and Fairbanks markets. Now, I'm not that familiar with ones in Southeastern, and I'm not slighting them. But they're reputable. Their problem is, without some kind of protection back to the manufacturer, when you have to fix a home that you forget to put the insulation in the ceiling, it's expensive. We made one manufacturer do 7 of them at Fairbanks last year. That's under our own bond, our old bond program. Mm-hmm. Cost him a little over $3,000 per home. And he didn't want to do it except we were going to pull his bond. That's, the dealer could do nothing on it. That's what we're after here. That's
yeah, we've got to find a way to, as best we can, within the state, to, and I don't know really how you can do that to the fullest extent, ensure that the manufacturer does his job.
We thought a long time before we recommended this. I've had it for 2 years now, and I don't like legislation any more than anybody else does. But I did not know any other way to get the manufacturers to respond to our problems. We went first, tried to go through HUD. We could not get HUD to respond. HUD will not even admit that if a door is frozen shut and has glaciation on it, that it is a health and safety hazard. And I've got 8 or 9 letters back written to the Secretary of HUD on that problem, and I can't get her to admit it. So this was our answer to it. I don't know of another one. If the dealer's gonna, and I talked this over with all the dealers in Anchorage, mm-hmm. and they couldn't come up with any other solution.
I'm of the opinion, personally, I don't know about the other members of the committee, that we've got to have something of this sort. I've received a lot of complaints as a representative of the people in my district, and as a representative Cotton said, we have a lot of mobile home courts in our district. And I've gotten some of these too, but you know, as a legislator, I can't do much. I'm glad the bill was put in. Well, I guess we've got to beat this to death. Read over all this stuff and suggest some changes and see if the committee will go along with it. And as to whether we'll pass it out, depends on how long we go. Dwell on it a little more this summer, I don't know. But this committee will be running this summer. And what about some insurance problems?
How do you mean, Senator?
I don't guess that's within your purview,
no.
Bailiwick.
No.
On some of these homes. We've had some complaints on home insurance, and this is a home.
We don't get into it with them. I don't know how we got into weights, and I mean into mobile homes to begin with in weights. If you'll notice, we're trying to put it over
I just wonder. Right, I just wonder if DOT will do the same good job at weights and measurements.
I prefer not to answer that.
I figured as much. I hope they do as good a job, Joe.
I do too. Thank you.
Unless somebody else has some questions or comments to make, Terry, Boyd, Commerce Committee is adjourned.